Hi, everybody. I'm a grateful addict named Dave O. And, my sobriety date is September 17th, 2009. And to me, that's a miracle. Wow. Real nervous about being here. I didn't think I was going to be. I don't know. I've heard it before. And it's just, I don't know. Didn't hear me until I kind of started. You know, coming here, but this topic, when Ann first called me last month to speak on it, I kind of thought about it, and I was like, I really hadn't heard it before. I thought about that. I don't know if it was just me, or if it was just maybe I heard it in a meeting and didn't hear it, but it's not a phrase I'd really heard about before. And I kind of thought about, well, I was going to call her up and ask her, kind of, well, you know, what does it mean, or where'd you get it from, who brought it up, and I thought, no, I'll just go with kind of what my approach to it is, you know. Learn it, work it, live it. I thought... When I first thought about that, I thought about my life before I came in here. You know, how I was living out there, and it wasn't working. That's the first thing I thought about. It was not working. You know, life was just it was just bad. It wasn't bad. You know, on the outside, it wasn't bad. Really bad on the outside. It was bad up here. You know, and that's what I really realized until I came here. But a couple years before I got sober, I did about a 3-year dry drunk. You know, I was clean, but I wasn't sober, and that was horrible. That was the worst. If I hadn't come here, I'd never learn what that was, why it was like that, why I was living with all my alcohol, with all my drugs, but the problems were still there, and I didn't have any solution to them. It was just crazy up here in my head. When I came here, I learned a way of dealing with things like that. Before I came here, I don't know. I think when I think about what stuck with me when I came here. When I came here, I started reading the literature, and that really appealed to me. And it talked about how being how selfishness and self-centeredness, how that was kind of an alcoholic or an addict's problem. And I never realized that about myself before, that's the kind of person I was. That was really a really selfish, just a self-centered person. I never would have thought that about me. And I've been, you know, throughout my life, I done all kinds of, you know, I went to church and retreats and a seminary and a school and... you know, on retreats and all kinds of things, I never really heard that before. I came here and read this, like, wow, that is me. And that kind of opened up a lot of things to me. The other thing I think of that, learn to work and live it, I think of the steps. That's the first thing I thought, well, that's the steps, right? Learn to work and live it. It's steps 1 through 4 for the learn it, 5 through 7 for the, 5 through 9 for the work it, and 10 through 12 for live it. That's kind of how I look at it. I think the first 4 is just you're kind of learning what the 12 steps are all about, kind of recovery is all about. And, you know, I hear people talk about that with the steps, a lot of times you want to work it real fast. And I almost think that you've got to have some time before you get into them. I'm glad I didn't work them like after my second week here or something. I had to have a little time and space, a little clearness up here, I think. You know, if you're sober finally for the first month or two and get that clear spot up here, I think I finally... You know, you got to reach out to them before you really hit those first 4 steps. The work it is 5 through 9 is the actual, the reading of the 4th step, the 5th step. I'll work on a 6th and 7th step, and then making the amends, and then living it as a 10 through 12. They call the maintenance steps. You know, that the things that that you do every day to keep you sober. The other subject I was thinking about how that learn to work and live it could apply to would be this fellowship. And that to me is what I think is like you learn about the steps in here, you work them in here, and you live them in here too. And, people say, oh, it's a lot harder out there. And I almost think it's kind of harder in here. You know, out there, nobody really understands kind of where you're coming from. But here, the people kind of do. You know, there's a lot of times we complain about something. Oh, I don't like somebody at this meeting, or I don't like that guy's view. I don't like his. I don't like she does this, so they do that. And I was thinking, think about when you're out there. How many times you have said, well, somebody you're at within a bar or in a doing drugs with, somebody used to buy drugs from you. Think all the knuckleheads used to buy drugs from. You know, you're like, oh, that guy's a real knucklehead. I want to, but he's got the good stuff, and I'll go see him. When I first came here, I remember my in the first 3 months. I think my first 3 months, maybe of going to meetings. I think I cried at every meeting I went to when we were sharing. I can think, oh my God, think of this guy's going through some great pain. Always real, you know, he's real, he was a horrible, had a horrible addiction or something. And it wasn't that. I think it was just the emotions coming out of me. And that's what his sponsor told me. It was just that after, you know, kind of stifling those emotions, kind of self-medicating those emotions away for 20-some years, they're finally coming out. And I remember the first time I was at a meeting here on a Friday morning. And I talked to the meeting. I didn't cry at all. And I was like, wow, that's just really, you know, that's just really good. But, you know, it's another part of working it and learning it is how to deal with those emotions. You know, Bill Zinn wrote that famous essay on emotional sobriety. And if you haven't read that, you really should read that. That's in, you know, it's in Language of the Heart. There's two books on it. They have at the AA Central Office to an emotional sobriety. And members talking about it. He said it's kind of the next frontier in sobriety. I think that's been my experience for sure. It's kind of, now that I know kind of why I do it, you know, it's good that there are things that I don't do, but now I'm learning why I don't do them, you know. I started talking to Michael about that a while ago, about the, you know, it's bad enough that you think, well, 5 years ago I'd have done this. And now it's like, I don't even want to think about doing something bad. You know, it's good that I'm not doing anything bad or not saying anything, but I want to work on that underlying thing, that why am I even thinking that? Why am I even thinking that thing I wouldn't say or wouldn't want you to know I'm thinking about? Another thing with this topic is the live it. Now, of course, you got to come to the 12 step on there. And I was thinking about that with I went to fellowship too about meetings. And I kind of wanted to do something. At first, I thought about this. I wanted to do something on the fellowship and kind of a singing thing. I think I want to do like a, if you remember the movie Network and the Howard Beale character in there, you know, like kind of mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I was kind of trying to do something about something like that towards a fellowship, and I just thought about it. It's not, it's anything I could say would be just, it has to come back at me. You know, I have to think of what I'm doing to help this fellowship grow. You know, I love that line in the big book, I think it's on 84, 85, where it talks about love and tolerance of others is our code. And I think that's that really has to be, I was trying to make that clear in my mind when I'm meeting a newcomer, when I'm meeting somebody who I know and, you know, maybe I hear them, oh, I don't like that person. I'm not going to like them, or I don't like their politics or their music or their style of dress or whatever. You know, you just have to think. You just have to think, say, love and tolerance for others is our code. And if people hadn't loved and tolerated me to get here, I wouldn't be here now, and I wouldn't be sober. I think this dinner is a great thing. That's been here, what, like 21 years now?
23.
23. I mean, that is amazing. All the people have been through this room. Who've been through there and hear all the speakers here and enjoyed all the good fellowship. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody who's been keeping this going for so long. You know, I think about that, the people who've been doing this, who were doing this 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're still doing it now. And I think that's something we have to pay more attention to that. I think we have to give credit to people in our fellowship. We're doing a lot of good stuff, you know. Seems like that, instead of there's you know, 10 jobs, and it's like two people doing 5 each, you know. And we got to kind of, if we spread everything out more, it'd be a little easier. Everything would go easier if everybody did one thing. Back to that Tulsa, I think there was a line in the Big Book I was trying to find. I've been looking for it all week, and I know I heard it. We read it at the Sunday morning Big Book a couple of weeks ago, and it was kind of a biblical allusion that Bill made. And I want to talk about the story. It's from the Old Testament. That's fine. If you know, that was you know, kind of how Bill's idea of God as he saw it. But it's a story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7, and it's talking about the Syrians were encamped around this town, and some great noise came. You know, there were this horses, and they ran away. You know, this town they've been surrounding for weeks. They're kind of starving it out. All the people were starving in there. And there were some lepers outside of town. They said, well, they're going to die here from the heat or the starvation. So they said, well, go back to the camp, and we'll let us kill them and get it over with. And they went back to the camp, and they saw the Syrians. All the people surrounding the camp had gone away. And, wow, that was great. You know, so they went and, you know, sure ate all the food, and they found the silver and gold and everything. And, you know, just go. We got all this stuff now. We can go on. And one of the lepers, and you think they were the people that were rejected at the time of society and, you know, they were outcasts. You know, they could have just said, well, hey, this is ours and forget them. But one of them said, he said, we're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. And so then they said they went back to the town and took about and shared all the good stuff they had with the people there. And I think that's kind of how it is with us here in the fellowship, that it's You know, it's a day of good news that we're sober. We're here. We're sober. We have the answer. You know, and if we remain silent, if we don't go and tell people, if we don't do 12-step work, if we don't do visits to detox, if we don't talk to that newcomer, we're doing a great wrong. You know, we have to keep reaching out. Keep reaching out. Let people know that there is a solution. There is a solution. There's a design for living that works, and we all know it. And we have to let other people know it. I think that's. You know, I talk to people. I know some people can't let other people know they're in recovery. If you can, I say do it. Let people know, because there's always people you can help. Or you never know, people can come up to you and get you to talk to somebody, and what little you know can really help them out. I was talking before this. I talked to Lori about this. I said, "What does the saying mean?" And she told me it meant you learn it, to work it, to live it. And I wish I thought of that a couple of days ago. I think I could have talked a lot about that. But it makes sense. You learn it, to work it, to live it, and to have a good life. And it keeps growing in the circle. You know, it's like that thing with the snake eating its own tail. That's kind of how it goes. That's kind of how recovery goes to me, and that's how the steps go. You know, it's always a cyclical thing. And I'm glad you're all here. I'm looking forward to hearing Debbie talk, and with that, I pass. Thank you.